Supreme Court of the State of South Dakota, the Honorable Chief Justice David Gilbertson presiding, is now in session.
Good morning and welcome to our August rules hearing. The record may show that due notice has been given to the public of the proposed rules in order to allow them to comment in writing or appear in person and make oral presentation to the court. This morning we have four proposed rules to consider for the benefit of those who are here. We do things in reverse order. We have the opponents, if any, speak first. And if there are none, then we then have the proponents speak, but it shortens things up because there's nothing to rebut. So, doesn't mean we're going to muzzle you, but so we will proceed. And this is a very informal procedure. Anybody that wishes to speak, please come to the podium, identify yourself for the court, and say what you have to say. The court may have a few questions. That's very informal, actually. So, rule number one, which I believe, Mr. Sazan, this is a UJS proposal, right? Okay, this is proposed by the UJS. This would amend SDCL 153947. Does anybody wish to appear in opposition to this rule? There being none, does anybody wish to appear in favor of the rule? There being none, we'll proceed to proposed rule number two, which is also proposed by the Unified Judicial System. This is entitled Supreme Court Electronic Filing Rules. Is there anybody that wishes to appear in opposition to this rule? There being none, does there anybody wish to appear to speak on behalf of it? Mr. Sazan.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. This rule proposal is really a culmination of a number of years of commitment and dedication by the UJS to get to the point where we can have e-filing available statewide. You may recall last year in July, the Chief Justice appointed a committee that consisted of lawyers, paralegals, clerks of court, court administration staff, and IT to work on developing these rules. And that's really the product that's before you today. And I'll just be very brief because I know my opposition was kind of light.
You scared them off.
Yeah. For the Supreme Court, what this really contemplates is creating an e-filing for briefs and other documents, really formalizing the process that we have in place right now that the court has been piloting for about 18 months, I believe. For the circuit courts, it uses the Odyssey system to generate an e-filing system, which is much more like the federal PACER system and some of those other states that are more web-based. And that would be universal by July 1 of 2014 is the intent. And I'll just really briefly, I submitted a proposed comment related to an exclusion for administrative records. Those appeal records come in from administrative agencies. They're kept by the clerk of court for reference by the court and then returned after the proceeding is done pursuant to state statute. Right now, the administrative agencies have informed us that those aren't kept electronically, and it would be a fairly significant task to make those electronic, so we added that as a proposed exclusion. And I know Mr. Marsh is here, and he may wish to speak to that if you have any questions. That's the one proposal I had. I know that there were a few other comments that were submitted. I'm certainly happy to answer any questions about those, but if not, I'll just stand down.
Any questions for Mr. Sazan from the bench? No, thank you for your comments. Any further persons wish to appear as proponents of proposal number two?
Morning. Good morning, Chief Justice, members of the court. I'm James Marsh, Director of the Division of Labor and Management in the State Labor and Regulation Department. Thank you for taking my comments today. I sent written comments back in July in support of Mr. Sadazan's suggested amendment to Rule 3, Section B4, G, and H, essentially exempting administrative agencies such as ours from the electronic filing requirement, and again, urge your adoption of such an amendment. I'll be available for questions. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Marsh?
Yes.
You're saying exempting, are you talking about exempting the filing of the original documents or all filings?
No, No, exempting the submission in electronic format of our documents, because we have no capacity to do that currently.
But, like, any motions, any subsequent, any reason, any briefs, any reason those can't be submitted?
At the moment, they're all submitted in paper form. That's about our only...
That's what we're getting away from.
Yes, I understand. But I also understand that the amount of expense involved to us in attempting to convert those documents to electronic format in a format we don't currently use would be prohibitive.
Well, briefs, all you have to do is push send on a Word document. That's mm-hmm. what everybody is doing.
Yes, but briefs are a very small portion of the overall submission we're receiving. We're receiving deposition transcripts, medical reports. We might have 8 binders of paper on a given case. And that would be an enormous undertaking for us.
So I guess when I read your letter, I assumed to mean you were saying you tape record your hearings, and that was your major concern, but you want the entire file that you send up exempt.
That's correct.
All right. Any other questions for this witness, Mr. Marsh?
Thank you.
There being none, thank you, Mr. Marsh. Anybody else wish to speak on proposal number 2? There being no further comments, we'll proceed to proposal number 3. That is entitled the Circuit Court Electronic Filing Rules. Anybody wish to appear in opposition? Being none, does anybody wish to speak on behalf of this proposal? Okay. Then we will proceed to rule number 4, proposed by the Office of the Governor. This is a new rule to be designated as SDCL 1616, dealing with spouses of people serving in the United States military. Anybody want to proceed in opposition? Speak opposition. If not, does anybody wish to speak in favor of this proposal? Mr. Barnett.
Morning, Mr. Chief Justice. Justice is Tom Barnett, Executive Director of the State Bar. Informationally, very brief history. This particular rule was going to be submitted to the legislature as part of an overall package on professional licensing in a meeting with the governor's office and, frankly, with the Chief Justice. The Constitution says that this rule belongs in the court's venue, and we pledged our support as part of a proposed rule. And after that rule was submitted to the court, I went to my board of directors, the Board of Bar Commissioners. They have voted to support this proposal from the governor's office, and I'll stand by for questions. I note that it's consistent with existing public policy on law professors that come in to the state, those that might come in temporarily for public defenders, prosecutors, and so forth. So we find it consistent with existing public policy.
Well, really, you know, although the Constitution says we're in charge, the mechanics of the regulations fall on the state bar. And so you're comfortable that your organization can do what it needs to do for people who fall into this without any problems or anything?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Any other questions for Mr. Barnett from the bench? No, thank you. Does anybody else wish to speak? Okay. There being no further comments, this would complete the hearing, public hearing. The court then considers them and will either adopt them as proposed, amend them, or reject them. So we will be in recess. Thank you for coming.